guys can be seated. Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you all. Welcome to Crossbridge. How's everybody doing? So thank you for being here today. For anyone visiting, let me say welcome. We're very glad that you're here. I hope you find our church warm and open and today's message both challenging and applicable. Today we continue with our Advent series. And you know, when I think of Advent, I think of the calendar we have at home that's counting down the days until Christmas. The children, they get to open the door and fight over a piece of chocolate. It's so sweet. In Advent, it means the coming or the arrival. So this is a time we prepare for the coming or the arrival of Christ. We're in a series called Finding Joy, and we're looking at the process of gift-giving and how it impacts our joy. And we're constantly searching for the perfect gift, while others, they have high hopes of receiving the perfect gift. And the whole process can be exhausting and exhilarating at the same time. So today we'll see how we can find joy when we wait to receive or give the perfect gift. In the Christmas season, giving and receiving gifts, the excitement, this can be a great excitement, right, for the kids. So I think about the excitement in my family that begins in say, March, right? They start planning their Christmas lists, and who can really blame them when the stores, they start decorating before Halloween? And then when we start decorating at home, the excitement, it continues building because they know it's getting closer. And last weekend, my kids and I, we hung Christmas lights outside, and there were several, "I can't wait for Christmas" comments. And soon we'll put up the tree, we'll hang the stockings, and you know, maybe to torture them a bit longer, we're going to put a few presents under the tree, and they're going to have to wait for Christmas to open them. You know, give them time to size up the packages, they can take the measurements, they can shake them, they can squeeze them, but they still have to wait. So there's joy in waiting. It's also true for the gift givers. Think about a time where you planned out the perfect gift for someone, but you had to wait to give it to them. You knew how excited they'd be to open the present, but you had to wait until Christmas Day. And one year, I went really big for my wife. I overheard her and her brother, they were talking about going in together and getting her parents an iPad. And she was telling her brother how cool it was, it could do so much, it was so compact. And you know, she never asked me for one, but I knew she would love it and get a lot of use out of it. So I went out, I got it, I wrapped it up, I put it under the tree, but I had to wait to see her response. And I'm not sure how it goes at your house, but my wife and I, we generally don't exchange gifts until the afternoon when the kids are exhausted and tired out. So I had to wait even longer on Christmas Day. But she opened it up, she was completely shocked, she loved it, and it was worth the wait, and it gave me joy. So whether you're the giver or the receiver, I think we can all identify with the joy that comes from waiting for the perfect gift. But now, outside the context of the Christmas season, without the anticipation of giving or receiving gifts, we can also find joy in waiting. So does that sound strange to anyone else? I guess for most of us, joy and waiting, it's an oxymoron, right? The two words, they don't go together. Joy and waiting. How do we find joy in waiting? We live in a culture where we don't like to wait, right? Here, raise your hand if you like waiting in traffic. There's always one, right? We don't like waiting. Most of us, we use our microwaves more than our stoves, and at the grocery store, I'll go to the self-checkout line just to avoid a line with two or three people in it. And I can't tell you how irritated I get when I have to wait for a website to load. Most of us don't like waiting because we're too busy and we want instant gratification. So again, who would ever find joy in waiting? In fact, waiting can be extremely hard. I'm assuming there's somebody here today that hates their job and they're waiting for the dream job to open up or any job to open up. It can be a difficult time of waiting. Or what if you're waiting for the medical test to come back? Think about the worry, the doubt, the anxiety that comes in that time of waiting. Or what about waiting to become a mother or a father? The infertility rates in the U.S. are high. And think about the process involved in waiting in that phase of life. I know this has affected people in our church and my family included. So I can tell you from experience, there's not much joy in waiting when you're dealing with infertility. So waiting, it brings uncertainty that we're not in control, which can lead to fear, doubt, worry, and even anger. So I'm sure we can all relate to one of these two. Understanding that waiting can be exciting, but also understanding that waiting can be very difficult. And when the waiting's difficult, how do we ever find joy in that time? And you know, the good news for today is that I believe that God is working while we're waiting. Regardless of the situation, whether we're waiting with excitement or if we were waiting and we feel powerless, God is present and working in our lives, and God is working while we're waiting. We're going to look at a story in the Bible today that has a lot to do with waiting, but not the exciting kind. Our reading is going to come from Luke chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there now. Luke, it's in the beginning of the New Testament. It's about a third of the way through your Bible. It's one of the four Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So as you turn there, let me set up the chapter. The passage, it talks about the birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he's a key person in the gospel story. His birth is a fulfillment of the prophecy in the book of Isaiah and Malachi, which calls for a messenger to be sent ahead of Jesus to prepare his way and announce his coming. And this is what John does. He paves the way for Jesus' ministry. And the story of his birth comes from verses 5 through 25, and then it picks up at the end, 57 through 79, and we're not going to read that in its entirety, but I want to focus on the themes of waiting. So here, let me first just summarize the reading. So Luke, he introduces us to a priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, and right away he tells us they're both very old and they're unable to have children. That is until one day, Zechariah sees an angel of the Lord who tells him his prayers have been heard and his wife Elizabeth will have a son. But Zechariah, he doesn't believe him. And because he doesn't believe, the angel says he'll be silent until his son is born. But Elizabeth, she becomes pregnant. They have a son. They name him John. And they rejoice. So I want to unpack three areas from this story where Zechariah and Elizabeth waited. They waited for a child. They waited to hear from God. And then they waited to enjoy God's blessing. So let's check out the first area. We'll look at verses 6 and 7. It says, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. The commentaries I read on this verse put Zechariah at 92 years old, and Elizabeth, she was around 88. And we see this couple described as righteous. They were virtuous, moral, good, honorable, and respectable people. They loved the Lord, and they served him faithfully. There was tremendous love that they shared together, but they shared this grief and this sorrow that they were unable to have children. So imagine they're waiting. Waiting for a child is difficult. I have to think as the years went by and they waited, how many tears they endured, how many times they cried, how many times they prayed, and how many times they wondered, why is this happening to us? You have to realize in this culture that having a large family was often viewed as being shown favor by God because it meant you'd have enough people to plant and tend the harvest and nurse and care for the elderly, and it meant a continuation of your family name. So not having children was considered a curse. It was equated with sin and disgrace. You were looked down on, and it was assumed you did something wrong, and if you were to repent, then maybe God would bless you with a child. And oh, by the way, it was legal grounds for divorce. So if Zechariah had chosen to divorce Elizabeth, no one would have questioned it, and it would have been accepted by everybody. We talked earlier about the high infertility rates in the U.S., and that our church has been affected by this. My wife and I have been affected by this. I'm thankful to be in a place where I can kind of chuckle at the fact that I volunteered to preach week 2 of Advent, not knowing how well my story lined up with this one. So my wife, who also happens to be an animal, Elizabeth, we were married in 2000, and we had planned to enjoy married life together before starting a family. Our idea was to wait 6 years and then start trying. And I remember around the 3-year mark, we went away for the weekend. We went to visit some friends to celebrate their daughter's first birthday. And we had so much fun being with them, the large group of family members, but then just the five of us. It was a joyful time. In our ride home, I remember, Elizabeth, we were talking about the weekend, and then she said, maybe we should adjust our plan and start trying for a baby now. And I said, say no more, you had me at maybe, and I was in. So at first, there was joy in waiting. Anticipation, excitement, it surrounded everything, probably very similar to the kids on Christmas morning. But as the months went by, the joy started to dwindle. Months 3 or 4 brought some sadness when the answer was again no. And then months 7 or 8 brought tears, wondering what's wrong and crying out to God, asking why is this happening to us? And then at the 1 year mark, we could finally seek medical help, which brought about some hope. But that quickly faded and the tears resumed. And at this point, tears are a monthly occurrence as this progresses. And 2 years into this, we had to move to New Jersey, and at first, New Jersey has some great fertility benefits, but we didn't qualify. We found a doctor, which again brought about hope, but it also brought medication and procedures. And unfortunately, the results were the same. The months continued accumulating. We prayed to be blessed with a child, but it wasn't time. And now, gosh, we're 3 years into this, exhausted, and any joy is long gone. The only option that remained was IVF, which is very complicated and expensive. But it would take everything that we had emotionally, physically, and now financially, and we said yes. And then about a week before we were to write the check to start IVF, Elizabeth was pregnant, and it was a miracle. And you want to talk about an overwhelming joy and happiness? The waiting, the agony, the tears and sadness is just gone. And the next 9 months were the most joyous time. Our house, anticipation, excitement, it surrounded everything that we did. I mean, doctor's visits, getting her room ready, and a baby shower. And God blessed us with our daughter, Madeline. Here's a picture. She's way much cuter than this, but she's so goofy and silly, I had to use this one. She brings so much joy to our life. We waited so long for her. And to think any other month was a completely different person. So waiting for a child is difficult. Even when we feel powerless, God is working while we're waiting. The second area, God is present when we wait to hear from him. And we see the waiting and the life and essentially the career of Zechariah. He is a priest in the tribe of Levi. And among the other priest duties, they burned incense at the altar twice a day. Once in the morning, once at night, as a regular offering to the Lord. And now put this into perspective. There were thousands of priests. And so they divided up the duties by families. The family would serve 2 one-week periods in the year, and that's it. So when it was your family's turn for service, they would cast lots. So think about drawing straws to decide which duty you would have in the service. So Zechariah, he was chosen for the duty of burning incense at the altar. It was surely a special day. And imagine the waiting at being selected for this day, the excitement that would surround it. He probably thought at his old age that that opportunity would never come. So Zechariah, he enters the temple to start the ceremony. He approaches the altar to burn the incense, and his life changes. Standing next to the altar is an angel before he can even begin. And we'll look at here at verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John." So what's Zechariah's prayer? He's been waiting for years, for decades, to have a child. The angel tells him his wife will have a son, and they're to call him John. And I mentioned this earlier, this John is John the Baptist, a significant figure in the story of Jesus. He's described in the Gospel of John as a man sent from God. And let's look at the significance of what's happening here. The angel's words in this verse are the first spoken word of God in 400 years. So think about that in our theme of waiting. The last audible voice from God prior to this was in the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4, where it says, "I will send the prophet Elijah to you." And now the first spoken words in 400 years are a fulfillment of that prophecy. The prophecy speaks of John the Baptist. It says, your prayers have been heard, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. So talk about joy and waiting for the perfect gift. Zechariah here was 90 years old. He lived faithfully for the Lord. He stood by his wife, and they never stopped praying for the blessing of a child. I have to imagine as the years mounted and his age increased, he came to a point of accepting that he wasn't meant to have a child. But I also imagine a man described as righteous in the sight of God never gave up hope that this was God's plan. Little did he know that God was saving him and Elizabeth for this specific purpose. And so think about it from Zechariah's point of view. First, he has a remarkable opportunity to enter the temple and burn incense. He approaches the altar, and standing there is an angel saying, don't be afraid, you're going to be a father. Now, what would you say in that circumstance? Maybe something like, huh? Come again? And you are... And yes, that's exactly what happened. Even after all the waiting, 90 years old, he finds out the Lord has blessed him. He didn't believe it. And I don't think anyone would believe it because it's biologically impossible. So let's jump to verse 18 and we'll see the exchange with the angel. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day it happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So now Zechariah, he asked for a sign, and boy, did he get one. Because of Zechariah's unbelief, he's unable to speak until his son is born. Probably not the sign he was expecting. And maybe a it's a boy balloon would have been a better sign. And now look at the additional waiting. Zechariah was selected to burn incense in the temple. He meets an angel who tells him his prayer for the last, 70 years has been answered. Because he didn't believe, he now has to wait 9 months during the most exciting time of his life. And you know, it was worth the wait because his prayer had been heard. It wasn't on his timing, but it was on God's timing. So we remember that God is working while we're waiting. So Zechariah and Elizabeth, they waited for a child, they waited to hear from God, and now they had to wait even longer to enjoy God's blessing. Let's look at verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. So here we see the waiting paying off. An almost 90-year-old woman made it through pregnancy, carrying the baby, enduring the labor, giving birth to a son. The toll that must have taken on her body. The fact that she was protected for 9 months is only because God is present and working while she waited. The baby was born, the neighbors and the relatives, they shared her joy. Her shame for the cultural time was gone. And they see firsthand the mercy of the Lord and that anything is possible with God. So the joy in waiting here not only blessed her and her husband, but also those around them. And as it was customary in that time, the family, they waited until the 8th day to circumcise and name the baby. And sons were often named after fathers, but Elizabeth, she said, no, his name is John. So they tried to communicate with Zechariah because, again, he still can't speak, to see what he had to say about the name. So let's look at verse 63. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. His wait was over. He could speak again. He could fully experience the joy with Elizabeth in raising their son. God was present and working while he waited. So what a wonderful story of hope. Hope is a pretty powerful word, right? It can provide great comfort and joy for those who have it, but also a lot of pain if you've lost it. And most would think of hope as wishful thinking. I hope it works out okay. But you know, if you've dedicated your life to Jesus, hope is so much bigger than this. As Christians, when we live with hope, we live with a confident, joyful expectation that something good will happen, that even when we feel powerless, we have hope that God is working while we're waiting. So waiting, it doesn't have to be this doubtful, stressful, unspecified period of time until we realize whether or not we get what we want. But rather, waiting is about living in hope that God wants us to trust him no matter how long it takes. And so this is what waiting and hope is all about. This is what makes the Advent season charged with anticipation unlike any other. Not because we want to see what's under the tree, but because we're able to marvel at God working in our lives and the lives of those around us. God is working in this world beyond our imagination. He's using us to fulfill his promise. So we wait, we watch him work, and we live with hope. In our story today, Elizabeth and Zachariah, they had to wait, and they waited joyfully. God saved them for this specific purpose. And you know, we too have a specific purpose in life. For every trial we've been through or that we'll go through, we can learn from those experiences. We can look back and consider it joyful to have trials in our life. And it may not seem like it right now, especially if you're in the middle of it. But once you're through it, you can use that time to encourage and strengthen others. And I can't tell you how many conversations Elizabeth and I have been able to have about infertility. And I hope our experiences have been able to help others through that, even if it's just to provide a little bit of hope. And our experience has helped me understand the opening of James in a whole new light, where it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And you know, notice how it says, whenever you face trials. It doesn't say if you face trials. And he tells us to consider it pure joy because our trials, they test our faith and produce perseverance. God allows us to be tested to prove to us the truth about ourselves. And do we cling to the faithfulness of God and his promises? And so for me, the trial was the waiting. The verse for me would go like this: consider it pure joy, Christian, whenever you wait. The tests we endure play an important role in the development of our Christian life. Zachariah and Elizabeth, they demonstrate to this in the waiting for God, and they wait joyfully. And when we celebrate together as a community of believers, affirming with each other that something is happening that's worth waiting for. If you're in a period of time of waiting, let me encourage you. Tell someone else about it. Don't go through it alone. The enemy would want nothing more than to keep us isolated. And then when the waiting's over, we can all rejoice together. And I'm in a Tuesday morning men's group. So anyone, Tuesday morning, 6:30 a.m., Swedesboro Diner. We talk about the trials in our life. We pray for and encourage other. Consider it pure joy has been discussed and debated multiple times. And we celebrate when the waiting is over. Whether it's pregnancies, dream jobs, or good news. So seek counsel from a friend, be diligent in prayer, and talk to God. We should be quick to point out the ways that we see God working in each other's life. So be on the lookout for God moving and patiently, joyfully wait to see what's happening. So let's take the opportunity of this Advent series to follow Zachariah and Elizabeth's example and live hopefully, waiting with anticipation, living with an expectation that something beyond our imagination is at hand. God is waiting for each one of us. So let's prepare this Christmas season to slow down and meet him. So as the worship team comes back up, I'm going to close with a few questions. What are you waiting for today? What are you hoping will happen? And can you see God in the waiting? And I believe he is there when we wait, even if we feel powerless. So let me challenge you before the day is over. Tell someone what you're waiting for. We're all in a trial right now, whether we're just starting, we're in the thick of it, or it's finishing up. I pray you are hopeful. Again, confident, joyful expectation that God is working while you wait. And for those of you today that don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. I pray that you are also hopeful, but I have to wonder, without Jesus in your life, where do you draw hope? Are you in the mindset of, I hope it works out all right? But God has a plan for your life. You have to make the choice to follow him. So I pray you continue seeking him and encourage you to ask questions and find out more what it means to have hope in Jesus. So I hope during this Advent season, as we wait, we live with joy, more like the children waiting for presents on Christmas morning. We live with hope and anticipation to celebrate the birth of Christ. And we wait during Advent and we look forward to celebrating that God, he loves us so much, he sent his son to the world to save us. And for Crossbridge Community Church, I imagine us being a church with great hope, where we wait well and we don't act on impulse because we believe, even when we feel powerless, that God is working while we're waiting. So will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this lesson. I thank you that we can marvel at you working in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. I pray that we wait well, and that whatever trials we're going through, Lord, I pray that people see you and that you're working in their life while they're waiting. Whether it's dream jobs or pregnancies or good news, Lord, I pray that you're there and we can see you. Lord, I want to bind today any anxiety, doubt, fear, or worry, and I want to set loose a season of joy and patience and hope. So I pray that blessing over the church today, and I thank you for this opportunity to worship you. In your name, amen.